The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest episode of the TWBC Podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and coming to you from Lake Gru, which is the home of Ski Fluid, and at the Mastercraft Pro, and a couple of weeks post the World Water Ski Championships, where we saw the brilliant Belarusian Sasha Denyerskaya winning the women's overall competition. And I'm going to give you a chance now to actually pronounce your name correctly, because I've been butchering it for years, but at least I try, right?
Yeah, no, thank you. A lot of people don't even try, because it's a lot of letters. So my name is Alexandra Denyshevskaya, but I go by Sasha, because it's short and simple.
Fair enough, fair enough. Okay, so you achieved the dream of a lifetime a few weeks ago at the World Championships by taking the World Overall Championship. How's life been since then?
Oh, well, it's been awesome. I mean, it's been a dream, so I just feel happy and still kind of trying to process it. So it's awesome. I can't complain. I don't know when it's going to go away, but now I'm still enjoying it.
Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. So kind of give us an idea of the process of what it took to get to that world overall title. How long have you been in the United States for now, I would say? Since college, I would say, which was when?
So I went to my first training camp to ski with Scott Ellis and Matthew Ellis in 2014, I believe, beginning, like 2013. Then I got recruited to Monroe, went to college for 4 years, and now I am in Orlando for 3 years, so seven, eight years.
Okay, and you went to UR Monroe. What did you graduate with?
I graduated with computer science.
Computer science. You're someone after my own heart. But I mean, I'm a mass communication major, so there's a lot of computing going on in each realm. So, coming into this year, what were your goals? I mean, aside from the World Overall Championship, there are a number of pro tournaments that you competed in, King of Darkness and Lord knows what else. I mean, what kind of solid goals did you set for yourself at the beginning of the season?
So, the end of last year, kind of looked at my scores and, like, I knew if I ski well, I can podium for overall worlds. So that was my main goal. Obviously the Europeans, and yeah, I mean, just try to ski all the jump events and kind of, yeah, just ski all of them and see how I place and stuff. I had a little bit of the health issues in the beginning of the year, so I couldn't really perform.
What kind of health issues?
A little bit of, like, vertigo and dizziness, so I couldn't really, like, recover and, like, ski all three events the way I wanted to. So, the year I planned didn't really happen, but really glad that, like, by the end of the year, everything came together and, like, I was able to ski the way I was supposed to the whole season.
For someone who's been a jumper at your caliber for such a long time, vertigo just seems to be rather an unusual thing to be suffering from at this stage of your career.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, but just deal with it, do PT, and yeah.
Okay. And the physical therapy. Tell us how long and hard that was to get back into shape.
I mean, I'm still doing it. So, yeah, I mean, it's better now. So it just took a long time to figure out what's happening. So that was kind of the hardest part. Now that we know what it is, kind of easy to move on and deal with it.
All right. And also a major part of anyone's performances is the mental aspect of the whole competitive structure. And you have actually sought out the advice and the counsel of a good friend of ours within the Waterski Pro Tour, and that is Chelsea Mills from Winning Mindset. Give us a little bit of a sense as to what that was like in the beginning, because I mean, did she reach out to you, or did you reach out to her? And what circumstances kind of drove your decision either way?
No, I reached out. So, like, I truly believe that, like, it's a big part of any athlete. Like, you can be physically strong, but if you mentally struggle, you cannot achieve anything. So, I have been working with some therapists from home, but because I'm in the States now, it's kind of hard to do online. And I have been trying to find somebody here in States. So, in the middle of the season, when I found out that she's actually doing this program, I approached her. And, yeah, we had a phone call, and it's a program, like, standardized program, but kind of, like, fitted for your needs. So we started it working, I would say, July?
Mm-hmm.
Like right after Europeans, I think. And yeah, like I think we've been working like almost 3-4 months now, and I really like it. And I think the way she helped me to like believe in myself and like help me find a way to be ready at the tournament is like huge help.
Okay, I mean, obviously, we don't drive down into deep specifics with something like that. But I mean, a lot of skiers that I find actually have certain keys that they have before they go out onto the water. And I'm sure that you've dealt with that kind of thing in the past. To what extent is what you've been doing since July different in any way to what you've been doing in the past, so far as keying in on certain techniques, you know, whenever you're going out in the water, wherever you turn line tension, you know, and keeping water speed up? I mean, I'm speaking specifically to jump, which is the event that we know you for. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing it goes beyond that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not necessary what I feel like technically on the water. I feel like it goes back to my vertigo a little bit, because before I would be like, I can feel very confident on the water, and when the season started a little bit off, when I don't feel 100% on the water, I start doubt myself, so I didn't ski as well as I could, and then I was kind of negative all season towards myself. So she helped me to kind of be a little bit more, not necessarily aggressive, but kind of attitude, just like
more
deal with it,
more confident.
With it, yeah. Like, it's not gonna be perfect every time. Just deal with it and push. So
okay, so you've obviously lived in the United States for a good number of years. Are you planning on settling, or do you envisage a life back in Belarus?
I'll probably stay here because it's perfect for skiing. I can work and. Yeah, I mean, I like it over here.
Okay, excellent. So, work. What does that entail?
Well, as I said, I graduated with computer science, so I do a little bit of programming. So it's perfect because I can work from home. Mm-hmm. I live on the lake, so I can go ski, come back, work a little bit, so I don't need to go to office, which is perfect for skier.
Excellent. So, I mean, any specific examples of what you've done? I mean, obviously, computer science can be for some people, like, terribly boring or anything like that, you know. But what I'm driving at is, what attracted you to pursue that field of computer science when I'm guessing there are so many other fields that you could have tackled? I mean, even some of the skiers that graduated from ULM have pursued, like, medical degrees, that kind of stuff, you know, like the Benjamins and like mm-hmm. Regina Jaques. So what attracted you to computer science instead of pursuing something like so many of those skier graduates of?
Well, I mean, it's one of the biggest growing industries. Like, the shortage of jobs is huge. Job opportunities is awesome. Second of all, like, I like math and problem solving, so that's kind of my, like, mentality, I guess. Like, I don't, like, I like math, physics, so that's kind of what I vision myself to working towards. Like, it would be either engineering or computer science. So I couldn't see myself doing medicine. I'm not really into, like,
You don't like the look of blood or anything
yeah,
like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and I don't think I could work with a huge amount of people either, because I feel like I wanted something remote, because I envisioned myself skiing for a longer time. So I feel like computer science was one of these jobs that I could see myself doing, like, remotely. And the huge opportunities from, like, web design to web development to, like, there is just so many options. You can choose whatever you want.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And I do a little bit of web development and all that kind of stuff, so maybe we can talk later on. Anyways, so before you came over to Belarus, I mean it was like 7-8 years ago. I mean, now do you ever look back at your time at Belarus and reminisce a little bit and kind of wish for some of the simpler things that were present there, or you know type deal? Do you ever reminisce about what your life was like there?
I mean,
so much?
I miss my family a lot, obviously. So it was awesome that I live 15 minutes from my lake at home. So it was awesome that I could leave it in the house, go ski, come back, and back home when you grow up. We have, like, a ski camp, so you grow up with all other kids. So that was awesome that you kind of have a training camp, but it's also you spend all the summer with all your friends. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty awesome. But, like, I don't know if I would want the same thing right now.
Yeah, because, I mean, from what I'm able to ascertain, the training camps are very, very structured and regimented, you know.
Yes.
I mean, you instantly agreed with
yes.
that, didn't you?
Yes.
So, I mean, to what try and give us a sense of what that was like, you know, from its structure and its regimen type deal.
So there is few coaches, like 5-6 coaches. Each coach has like 10-15 kids, and you have a schedule. So you ski 6 days a week, and you have day off no matter what. Like, we had day off every Tuesday. And you ski every day from, like, 8 a.m. till 6, and you have time slots. So, you know, your schedule, you always told, like, basically what to do. That's kind of what I struggled a little bit when I came to States, because before, I always had plan made for me how many times I'm skiing, what I'm doing, what tournaments I'm doing, and, like, how to prepare for it. When I'm here, I have to do it for myself. So, yeah, and, like, basically, if it's windy, rainy, cold, sunshine, you just go and ski because it's your time slot. And
rain, sleet, or shine,
exactly.
you had to go out
exactly,
there.
Exactly, because it's your time slot, and there is 9 people behind you, and also waiting their turn.
And y'all train during the winter as well, because you had the swimming poles, right?
We actually don't, because I'm from Minsk.
Minsk,
so,
yeah.
Like, when I grew up, we didn't have pool. We did go to training camp to Novopolsk for like a couple weeks a year, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't really ski that much in the pool. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I was about to mention is that I mean there are quite a few skiers that have graduated out of that academy for Novopolotsk, and I was about to ask you if there was major differences between like Minsk and Novopolotsk. I mean, aside from the fact that Minsk is the big city, it's the capital city of Belarus. Yeah, I did take geography. And
Yeah, that's it.
Novopolotsk is like several miles. I mean, how many hours would you
It's like 3-hour drive.
it's about a
Yeah.
3 hour drive,
Yeah, so
you know.
it's pretty
So
close.
I mean 2 weeks out of the year training in the swimming pool in the middle of winter, I mean.
So in the middle of the winter, we're still gonna practice 6 days a week. Our winter practice, we run 30 minutes, then it's group stretch, then you have 40 minutes workout, then we have like a circuit where you do gymnastics on the trampoline, then there is like a it's 20 minutes, then you switch and you do 20 minutes. It's like pulley system when you do tricks with a rope, like in the ski, like toes or hands, and then it's 20 minutes you pull each other on a wooden ski, so you do toes or hands and you do basically, instead of pool, you ski on the carpet.
Like a little rolling carpet, just
Exactly.
make sure you don't catch an edge too
Yeah,
quickly.
exactly. But yeah, we would do toes. But I mean, as a kid, it's like a lot of slides or like simple toe lines and stuff or ski lines. It's, yeah. And then we'll play basketball for another 30 minutes.
So life wasn't as dreary and as and glum as a lot of people from the outside looking in on Belarus, would probably assume. So I mean, there was still a little bit of time for you to be yourself and that type of deal, So let me think here a little bit. I mean, we've dealt with your life here, we've dealt with your life in Belarus, and now, so I mean, you've risen to the level of world overall champion. I mean, how much exposure has your achievement gotten within the nation of Belarus?
I mean, a little bit, but
Not quite as much as one would expect, huh?
I mean, I wouldn't expect water skiing to get as much exposure as we would want to, just because it's not Olympic kind of sport. Like Belarus is like Belarus supporting a lot of sports, but they care mainly about Olympic kind of sports,
Of
if that
course, I
makes
mean,
sense.
you can say that for a lot of other countries around the world, but I
Yeah.
mean, I'm trying to think of sports in which Belarus has actually excelled over the years, and
I mean,
not that many.
the other girl just won the, I don't know how you call it, gymnastics, not like the
Oh, the
rhythmic gymnastic.
rhythmic
Yeah,
gymnastics,
she
yeah.
just won worlds like 2 days ago,
Oh,
so,
okay.
yeah.
So there is that. But I mean, so far as consistently producing champions and winners, Belarus has done a pretty darn good job when it comes down
The
to world
water is.
championship level. I mean, 2011 World Championships, the team title, several times European
Yeah.
champions at the team level.
Yeah,
So I
no,
mean, it's
that was huge.
so I mean, so I mean. I mean Belarus, I mean you can I mean when Belarus actually has their full team of skiers and individuals ready to go, they're darn well hard to beat.
Yeah, no, that's. Yeah, absolutely. Especially just because we have only two clubs and, yeah, and the conditions we have to ski in, that's pretty amazing.
All right then. So, we'll leave the conversation here right now. We thank you very much for talking with us. Is there anything you'd like to say by way of thanks or acknowledging your supporters or that kind of stuff? I'm sure you got plenty because the road that you've taken to get here, has been a long one and it's had a few obstacles, but I'm sure there are a good few people that you want to thank.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like my family, they always with me, and like that's the biggest support. So thank you. Thanks for to Garcia family for their support and love. Thanks to my coaches. That's been a long ride. So thank you guys. So Cole Grant for helping me to bring the structure and like pushing me through. Thank you to Scott Ellis. Marion Matthew Ellis for pushing me, guys, and yeah, thank you to Taylor for dealing with me.
All right then, and that was Sasha Denyerskaya. I'm Tony Lightfoot, and this has been the latest episode of the TWBC podcast. So until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.